Menacing music for a book about psychological suspense. USA Today bestselling author Allison Galen will be at the Kleiner James Center for the Arts for a reading from her new novel, What Remains of Me. It is set in the glamorous, wealthy world of Hollywood, a darkly imaginative and atmospheric tale of revenge and betrayal, presumed guilt and innocence lost, dirty secrets and family ties. New York Times bestselling author and all-around amazing individual, my dear friend Abigail Thomas, will be interviewing Galen about What Remains of Me. Abby sent me a note earlier this week saying this is the most amazing crime fiction that she has read in a very, very long time. The event is tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and it's a great pleasure to welcome Allison Galen to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate having you here.
Oh, thank you.
So What Remains of Me is the new book. How did this particular story come about? What was in your mind?
Before writing What Remains of Me, I was writing a series about a private investigator with perfect autobiographical memory. So I wanted to do something that was a little departure from that. I wanted to write more of an unreliable narrator. The other series was set in New York, so I decided to write a Hollywood story with a criminal as my main character and just sort of, you know, trying to get away from my previous setting. I've always been really, really fascinated by Hollywood stories and Hollywood crime stories in particular, ever since I was 10 years old and accidentally read a copy of Helter Skelter. So it's always kind of been in my mind.
I'm sorry, how do you accidentally read a copy of Helter Skelter? How does that happen?
Well, I thought it was about the Beatles, actually.
Okay.
My mother and my mom was a big, you know, pop cultural reader of everything, really. And I just kind of happened upon a copy of the book and thought, oh, I know that song, but it really wasn't about that.
A little bit more there.
Yeah.
So you go into this dark side of pop culture, which is really fascinating because it's not just Hollywood. It is our perceptions of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, definitely. I mean, throughout the book, I had a lot of fun writing a lot of fake stories, TMZ stories, LA Times stories, excerpts from a fictional true crime book. I even wrote a BuzzFeed post complete with comments. And it's really fascinating to me how much these stories are kind of warped and shaped by the coverage of them, and including the people involved. So I really wanted to kind of, I have a couple of unreliable narrators in the book, and the press is definitely one of them.
So the story begins in 1980 when a 17-year-old shoots and kills an Oscar-nominated director at a party in his home in the Hollywood Hills. And then that crime becomes, obviously, a media sensation.
Yes.
And throughout the arrest and the trial, the speculation is swirling about this young woman's motives. And so then you go 30 years after the conviction, 5 years after she has been released from prison, a similar murder is committed, and then we're off to the races.
Yes, exactly. We kind of run both races at the same time.
Yes.
Because it
yeah.
goes back and forth between 1980 and 2010, because both mysteries sort of feed into each other in hopefully unexpected ways.
When you look at this, I'm curious as to, because you have experiences in being an entertainment writer, correct?
Yes.
So was this a way to bury your darlings?
Kind of, in a way. I mean, I really, I didn't want anybody in the book to be based on actual characters. I didn't want you to look at any one person and say, oh, this is clearly so-and-so. But I did, I am just fascinated by that entire world, and I always have been for so long. You know, I've done entertainment writing now for about 20 years, and I've done both sort of trade entertainment writing and gossip entertainment writing, and I'm really fascinated by both, just the whole industry. So it was, you know, it was a way to kind of, I won't necessarily say have fun with it, but explore it and kind of explore the dark side of Hollywood and and you know, all the hidden secrets that kind of are beneath that glittery surface.
Do you find those secrets to be, I guess my question is, how much of that is our perception that there obviously has to be a lot of dirt behind the glitter, and how much of that is real in your experience of covering that place for so long?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, every story that you read about a celebrity only gets part of it, because you never really know anyone, do you? That's kind of the thing that fascinates me about it. I mean, all of us have secrets. Everyone. You know, they're not necessarily, you know, scandalous headline-making secrets, right, but everybody has something they don't want everybody else to know, you know.
I had an extra donut this morning.
You know what? I was going to say something like that. Like, maybe you had,
right,
maybe you had some cheesecake in the middle
of
the night.
I should have ordered one. I ordered two.
Right. Exactly. But it's good that you confessed that secret. Well. But, yeah, I think it's really impossible to encapsulate anyone's personality in a news story or in an article. So in kind of telling these stories, whether they are celebrity biographies or crime stories or both, in writing them, you tend to kind of reduce them down into taglines. You know, they become the homewrecker, or the you know, evil murderer, or the, you know, sainted, you know, movie star, whatever. They get boiled down to an essence which isn't necessarily them at all. So I definitely wanted to explore that. I mean, in the book, Kelly, the murderer, the convicted murderer, when she's 17 years old, she's outside the courthouse, and she makes the mistake of kind of, her face twitches into a smile right before her sentencing, and that's captured on camera. And it gets called the Mona Lisa death smile, and that photograph becomes like this iconic photograph, sort of like the one of Patty Hearst that we still, right, all in our brains if we're of a certain age. And how that image kind of stays with you. So no matter what she does for the rest of her life, she's that girl with that chilling smile outside the courthouse. That's what the press made her into.
I can't imagine a more enjoyable evening about talking to someone with the experience that you've had about such a great book, and having Abigail Thomas, who is one of my favorite humans.
Mine as well. She's fantastic. I love Abigail Thomas.
So it seems like it'll be a very, very fun evening at the Kleiner James Center for the Arts. Are Abby's dogs in your house?
No, that's my dog, Kevin. And I was praying and hoping he'd be quiet throughout the course of this interview. But, you know, you can only ask for too much.
Is the dog's name is Kevin?
Yeah, his name is Kevin.
That's great. And what type of dog?
He is a wire-haired dachshund.
Oh, that would be great.
And you know, he's really probably one of the funniest-looking dogs that you've ever seen. He loves to sit up on his hind legs. That's his favorite thing to do. It's very strange.
Well, Allison, I thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a beautiful event tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Give Abby a hug for me. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. It's a Golden Notebook event at the Kleiner James Center for the Arts in Woodstock, New York. And you can find out more information by going to goldennotebook.com for more information. Again, the novel is What Remains of Me by Allison Galen. It is published by William Morrow. Allison, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.